come near to you. We already advanced in the outline. We're at point 8 of the outline. It says the most precious service of the priest as portrayed in the case of Zadok. We read Ezekiel 44, how the Lord had promised to the sons of Zadok how in the future temple only they can come near to him to offer up to him fat and blood. And the reason for this is that the sons of Zadok were the only faithful ones when the people of Israel went astray from him. And when we look into the word, we can see how faithful the whole generation of Zadok was. Zadok was the priest at the time of David. And David established Zadok so that he will bring up burnt offerings. The temple wasn't built yet. But David saw there's a need for a faithful priest that stands before the Lord. And he said, since Zadok was faithful, he should be established as the high priest. And later, at the time of the temple of Solomon, Solomon also chose a son of Zadok to be over the house of the Lord. His name was Azariah. He was also a son of Zadok. And what I really appreciate is that Zadok stood firm with David and the God's purpose. Even in those days, some priests followed Absalom, but Zadok stayed with David. And later, there was the rebellion of Adoniah. He wanted to be king. And in this situation as well, he was also faithful. Zadok was faithful. Later, when the precious time was there, the temple was built. After Solomon had reigned for 40 years, then things were already going downhill. Through Jeroboam, already 10 tribes were separated from the southern tribes. And they didn't come to Jerusalem anymore to worship, but they worshipped the golden calves in the north. And then the fall just continued. There were even times where the kings have locked up the temple. There was no worship for God at all anymore. And they were doing it even worse. They put idols in the temple. And this whole time, there's always a remnant that stayed faithful to the Lord. In time of Elijah complained, Lord, they all fell away from you. I'm the only one that's left behind. But the Lord told him, no, there are 7,000 that left and they haven't bowed their knees. And among these 7,000, there were for sure sons of Zadok among them. Because later at the time of Hizkiah, the father of Hizkiah had closed the temple and locked up the gate. And when Hizkiah became king, the first day of his reign, he opened the gates of the temple again. And he commanded the priests, you need to purify this temple now. And after the temple was purified and sanctified, then he again established a son of Zadok to rule over the house of the Lord. That means these sons of Zadok, in their heart, they kept the faithfulness to the Lord. They did not follow the idols. And you see through the whole history, there was such a faithfulness in the through the history. But the time of Hizkiah, it also didn't last very long. And in the end, the sin was so abundant that God had enough. And judgment came over the whole country. And Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple, burned it down, and led the people away to Babylon into captivity. And as the Lord said in Jeremiah, after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, the Lord stirred up the spirit of a remnant and called a remnant out. And among this remnant, one person is emphasized. This is Joshua, the high priest. And we read in Ezra, this is again the son of Zadok. Even at a time of captivity in Babylon, those who really loved the Lord, they kept their heart for the Lord. They were not entangled in Babylon. Otherwise, they wouldn't be willing to leave Babylon. After 70 years, they returned to serve the Lord again. And then comes a promise that we read in Ezekiel. Then comes a promise in Ezekiel that because the sons of Zadok stayed faithful when the people went astray, they can come near to him. This faithfulness over the generations really impressed me. Even then, when the whole people went astray, they stayed faithful. It's not easy to go against the mainstream, go against the tide. It might be easier to go against the unbelievers and stand for the faith in the Lord. But when God's people is led astray by idolatry, by false prophets, then to stay faithful is really not easy. It really takes a heart for the Lord. If you don't have a real heart and desire for the Lord, you cannot be faithful to the Lord. And these priests, in their heart was to come close to the Lord. The Lord was to them the most precious. If the Lord for you is the most precious, then you will keep your heart for Him. And the same way with these priests, they had such a desire for the living God. And the Lord rewarded them with His precious ministry that they could come near to Him, to the most holy place. In one psalm, I think it's 34, it says, "Have your delight in the Lord, and He will give whatever your heart desires." On the other side, the Lord can also give you what your heart's desire, even if you don't want Him. If you desire for something so badly, then you might have it one day. But we have to be careful. What does our heart desire? When I was young, a teenager, I said to my sisters, my greatest wish would be one day to be a priest. I was in the Orthodox Church. I thought I had to become an Orthodox priest. That was really my desire. When I'm 40, I will serve the Lord as a priest. Praise the Lord, God has seen my desire. Today, I'm a priest for the Lord. I'm so thankful to Him. Not the way I thought, but much better. But the Lord saw the desire in my heart. And He gave me what was in my heart. And I saw in this conference, the Lord has prepared for us something much more precious. And the Lord opened my eyes. It's so glorious to serve the Lord as a priest. And then I said to the Lord, "Lord, what? How do I deserve this grace to have such a privilege? Not just here, but even to serve the Lord in the millennial kingdom." In this time, the Lord has shown me this. It's not only today, it will even continue into eternity. And even in the heavenly Jerusalem, it says, they will serve him as priests. Isn't that wonderful? What a glorious promise. And I have a new desire. I want to focus my life on this only and one goal. I serve you as a priest. Of course, in the temple there are various ministries, and they are important. Maybe we can display the temple of Ezekiel, that we can have an impression. This is the picture of the temple of Ezekiel. It's what the Lord has revealed to Ezekiel. A temple in the millennial kingdom. We had a conference about this. It was a glorious conference. And we saw in those days, this house has many ministries. There are the guards. There are those that praise the Lord with trumpets. It goes there serving in kitchens. They are those who take the offerings from the people. And when the people want to worship God, they can come near. And there are all kinds of storage rooms for food. And I really found this wonderful. But one thing I was really interested in, I always had this question in my heart. How do I get up there? That was really enticing me in this conference. And that was in my heart. This is all fine and wonderful. But how do I get into the most holy place? This is the most precious. How do I get there? And when we see the Lord has promised to the sons of Zadok, they can come into the most holy place. Of course, all these services have their value, but it's no comparison. In comparison to appear before God, it's nothing compared to appear before God. And it has much to do with our heart. Whether we are already happy with what's out here. Maybe we say, oh, I'm good enough with the outer court. It's wonderful. I enjoy with the saints, with the people. Maybe you're happy with this. But you know, if you desire more, it will pull you in. If you want more from the Lord, you want to go more into the inner center. Outside, there's a lot to do with people, and most of the people are there. There's the most space there. This is really big. It's a huge kitchen area, dining area. But when you want to go in, it's getting smaller. And then it's getting even smaller. And there are much less people. And if you go even further in, this is the most beautiful place. If you have no desire for that, I'm sorry for you. May the Lord write this in our hearts, that we have a desire to go there. You know, in there, this really impressed me back then. There are not many furnitures. You cannot do your sports there. Sometimes you just think, oh, I do what is fun for me. But no, in there is only one table. One table. And on one side is the Lord, on the other side could be you. And that you need to appreciate. The question is, do you want to get through there? And that's why you can see there are many gates and guards. Because it really matters if you really desire the Lord that is examined. And if you have a desire to come into the most holy place, then you will watch out for your heart. You cannot say, oh, I always want to appear before the Lord. you go out into the world and you enjoy the world. That won't work. Every time you defile your heart, oh, I want to go back in. That won't work. The priests, in their whole life, they were limited in their behavior because they wanted to get close to God. So God had certain strict rules for them. They were not allowed to drink wine to get in. And the Lord had them given them a law how to wear their hair. And they had to respect to come to God. But if you are only outside, you lose the respect of God. And if you are not if for a long time you haven't been in there, you lose the taste for being in His most inner place. And in the end, you even like the outside more than the inside. So we really have to watch out for our heart. In Psalm 73, it's a psalm of the sons of Asaph. He said in verse 2, I almost fell with my feet. I almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then he describes how the wicked ones live. They are not in pangs as other people, and pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. And he envied these people. He did not appreciate anymore that it is most precious to come to the Lord. He thought what the people have outside is more precious. He started to envy these people. And he says then, and in verse 13 he says, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. We must not say that. It's always precious to have a pure heart and you will see God. And then he says, all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. We saw whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Don't run away from chastening. The Lord chastens you that you have a share in His holiness, that you can come close to Him. And then he continues to say, he says, I've been plagued daily. And then I said, I will speak the same. But I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. And then comes verse 16. And this is the turning point. We said we should make a U-turn. We should really turn around. He said, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. And then what did he do? He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God. This is wonderful. Then he became sober. You see, the wine of the world, it completely veiled him. He got even envious of the wicked. One brother shared, his brothers, they are all very successful. They are unbelievers. I don't know if they are all unbelievers, but they love the world. And they are successful in the world. And when he was visiting them, he felt really bad. But he is the only one, he has more children than they are. They all have only one or two children. And he really felt bad. He said, where am I? Where are they? And when we make this comparison, we feel like Asaph. He said he was envious for the wicked because the focus was only on the present. And one time Paul said, if we only in this life, hope for Christ, we're the most miserable among all people. miserable. But praise God, when you go into the most holy place, you'll see their end and your end. And that's why it's good to appear before the Lord, that we become sober. It's good to go into the most holy place to see all things in the right light, that our heart will not desire for the food of the wicked. And the more you appear before the Lord, the more your desire will be for the Lord. So we really have to see and appreciate this wonderful call of the Lord to go inside. It needs such a deep desire in our heart. In verse 21, it really shows what will going to happen. In verse 21, he says, "And thus my heart was grieved, and I was waxed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant." We are like foolish people when we run after the world. We have something much more precious, and then we run and want the trash of the world. This is a misery. It will be a tragedy to waste our time with the vain things. May God open our eyes. There's something much more precious. Then he says, "I was like a beast before you." What do the beasts do? They just look to the ground. They only see what they can feed themselves with right now, just for now. But we need to look up. The Lord wants us to look for him. And I really appreciate this as my last point of this psalm. He says, "Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." The Lord showed him also his end. And also the Lord showed us in this conference his end. What a glorious end awaits for us when we come to him. So it's really worth it to stay faithful to him and watch out for our heart, not to miss the entry into the glory. I pray the Lord will give us all such a deep desire to consider all that things lost that we run after him. And you know what we have heard? It's very precious to bring blood and fat to the Lord. You know, the center of this temple is God himself. It's about him. It's not about me, it's about him. And if you are focused on him, the Lord will tell us what is our inheritance. One last verse. Ezekiel 44. I found this really precious. They should have no inheritance. In verse 28, really wonderful. Ezekiel 44:28. The ones who are allowed to enter, the sons of Zadok, he says, "It shall be in regard to their inheritance that I am their inheritance. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession." What else do you want? What do you still desire before the Lord comes? Lord, we want you. Nothing else than the Lord. And to serve him as a priest, this is wonderful and glorious. May the Lord bring us into the reality of this glorious priestly service, even when we return home after the conference.